Aslan went to the door and they all followed him. He raised his head and roared!
Now it is time. Time!
The door flew open. They all stood beside Aslan on his right side and looked through the open doorway. The bonfire had gone out. On the earth, all was blackness. In fact, you couldn't have told that you were looking into a wood if you'd not seen where the dark shapes of the trees ended and the stars began. But when Aslan had roared yet again, out on their left side they saw another black shape. That is, they saw another patch where there were no stars. And the patch rose up higher and higher and became the shape of a man, the hugest of all giants. They all knew Narnia well enough to work out where he must be standing. He must be on the high moorlands that stretch away to the north beyond the River Shribble.
Eustace, do you remember when we were deep in the caves beneath those moors? We saw a great giant asleep and had been told that he would wake on the day the world ended.
Yes, it's Father Time.
Yes, while he lay dreaming, his name was Time. Now that he is awake, he will have a new one.
Then the great giant raised a horn to his mouth. After that, quite a bit later, because sound travels so slowly, they heard the sound of the horn. High and terrible, yet of a strange, deadly beauty.
Shooting stars!
Oh, look at them all! There must be hundreds and hundreds!
It's like a silver rain.
Yes!
What's that? Directly overhead. Another patch of blackness.
Perhaps it's a cloud.
But it's growing, spreading out.
That's no cloud, Edmund. It's emptiness.
Don't you see? It's where the stars were. Now they're falling. Aslan is calling them home.
The last few seconds before the reign of the stars had quite ended were very exciting. Stars began falling all around them. But stars in that world are not the great flaming globes that they are in ours. They are people. So now they found showers of glittering people, all with long hair like burning silver and spears like white-hot metal, rushing down to them out of the black air, swifter than falling stone. And all these stars glided past them and stood somewhere behind, a little to the right, casting a fierce white light over their shoulders. They could see mile upon mile of Narnian woods spread out before them, looking as if they were floodlit. On the grass before them lay their own shadows. But the great thing was Aslan's shadow. It streamed away to their left, enormous and terrible. And all this was under a sky that would now be starless forever. The light behind them was so strong that it lit up even the slopes of the northern moors. Something was moving there.
Look at them all! Every kind of creature in Narnia must be coming our way.
Out of the shadows of the trees, racing up the hill for dear life, by thousands and millions, came talking beasts, dwarfs, satyrs, fauns, giants, colormans, archenlanders, monopods, and strange, unearthly things from the remote islands of the unknown western lands. And all these ran up to the doorway where Aslan stood.
It's It's like a dream.
I say, Jill, have we become smaller? Or has that door become much bigger?
I think... Oh, I don't know. It doesn't really matter, does it?
The creatures came rushing on, their eyes brighter and brighter as they drew nearer and nearer to the standing stars. But as they came right up to Aslan, one or other of two things happened to each of them. They all looked straight in his face. I don't think they had any choice about that. And when some looked, the expression of their faces changed terribly. It was fear and hatred, except that on the faces of talking beasts, the fear and hatred lasted only for a fraction of a second. You could see that they suddenly ceased to be talking beasts. They were just ordinary animals. And all the creatures who looked at Aslan in that way swerved to their right, his left, and disappeared into his huge black shadow, which streamed away to the left of the doorway. The children never saw them again. But the others looked in the face of Aslan and loved him, though some of them were very frightened at the same time. And all these came in at the door, in on Aslan's right. Among the happy creatures who now came crowding round Tyrion and his friends were all those whom they had thought dead. There was Runewit, the centaur, and the good boar, and the good bear, and the deer, dogs and horses, and Farsight the eagle, and Poggin the dwarf, and, to Tyrion's delight, Jewel, the unicorn.
Jewel?
Jewel, my good friend.
Tyrion. Dear Tyrion.
Further in and higher up.
Yes,
yes.
Come on,
listen. Further in. Higher up.
And now, waters of the sea, fountains of the earth, rise up to fill this earth. Rise up to meet the sky. Rise up to this very doorway.
See a light on the horizon. Is it the sunrise?
But it looks so dreary and sick.
We have seen this before, haven't we, Polly?
So we have. It is a dying sun, growing brighter and brighter than it ever has before, and never will again.
The sun's rays were a dark red and fell upon the great time giant until he turned red too. And in the reflection of that sun, the whole waste and shoreless waters looked like blood. Then the moon came up, quite in her wrong position, very close to the sun, and she also looked red. And at the sight of her, the sun began shooting out great flames of crimson fire towards her. The moon came slowly to the sun, then more and more quickly, till at last its long flames licked round the moon, and the two ran together and became one huge ball, like a burning coal. Great lumps of fire came dropping out of it into the sea, and clouds of steam rose up.
Now, make an end.
The time giant threw his horn into the sea. Then he stretched out one arm, very black it looked, and thousands of miles long across the sky till his hand reached the sun. He took the sun and squeezed it in his hand as you would squeeze an orange. And instantly, there was total darkness. Stand back. Everyone except Aslan jumped back from the ice-cold air, which now blew through the doorway. Its edges were already covered with icicles. Peter, High King of Narnia, shut the door.
Yes, Aslan.
Now lock it with the golden key.
Yes, Aslan. There.
Come further in. Come further up.
I don't think we'll be able to follow him at that speed.
We'll follow as best we can.
So, night falls on Narnia.
Yes.
Oh, Lucy, you're not crying. With Aslan ahead and all of us here.
I'm sure it is not wrong to mourn for Narnia. Think of all that lies dead, frozen, behind that door.
Yes. And I did hope that it might go on forever. I knew our world couldn't, but I did think Narnia might.
I saw it begin. I did not think I would live to see it die.
No.
Sirs, the ladies do well to weep. I have seen my mother's death. What world but Narnia have I ever known? It would be a great discourtesy if we did not mourn.
They walked away from the door and away from the dwarfs who still sat crowded together in their imaginary stable. And as they went, they talked to one another about old wars and old peace and ancient kings and all the glories of Narnia, now gone.